Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
You think about the challenges that you may have in your business. We ponder sometimes what the challenges are for women in business, especially in Montana. These are entrepreneurs. How do they overcome their challenges? We've got a good program here today. It's the second annual Women in Business Summit going on in Bozeman, Montana. We're at the Kempton Armory Hotel. Going to shine a spotlight on Montana's inspiring women here. They're shaping the future of business for us here in the Treasure State. We're going to learn about their successes, stories, and insights today as we are live from Bozeman, Montana for the Women in Business Summit presented by J.P. Morgan Chase on Voices of Montana. We get out and about. I like to call it 406-ing, but, you know, 406-ing is maybe something a little bit different because there's a lot of places to enjoy your 406-ing. And join us here, too, in Bozeman, Montana. This is the Blazing Trails Montana Women in Business Summit, right? It's been, it's a three-day event here, March 5th, 6th, and 7th, and it's between the AC Hotel in Bozeman and the Element and this Kempton Armory Hotel, where they've got a lot of presentations going on, as a matter of fact. I can pop in. Again, that's thanks to Trace Ketterling, who's with Sound and Lighting Technician, just walked by. The start of this Women in Business Summit right now, as a matter of fact. I got a little bit, and I'm waiting here. Let me tell you who's going to be on the program as well. Again, this is the second annual Women in Business Summit. It's been sold out. Last year was a huge success on this. We were here last year as well and talked to a ton of the issues that they're facing. One of the things that, of course, you know, we talk about an awful lot. It's not just women in business, but it's almost everybody in business. This is a workforce issue, and it's child care. What is Montana doing about it? I reference this a lot. I should have it in front of me more often than not. And this was a study done by the BBER several years ago, that looked at what is the cost to inadequate daycare and child care for our communities, Main Street businesses, industry as well, and it was significant. It was very significant to the point that people are paying attention to this workforce issue more and more because it's very much an economic issue. And so we'll be talking with Caitlin Jensen a bit later on. She is with the 0-5 organization that's on tap. What are folks doing now about AI? About artificial intelligence. How does that play a part in your business plans? Say that you've been entertaining an idea about business here, and you got to write a business plan, right? AI is something that can entirely change that business plan in a bit of a heartbeat as well. How are you going to consider that? We will have Elle Gall. She is with the Shadow Ridge Analytics organization, and we'll talk about that next frontier. Well, we're lining up right now, and it's been as they're in this conference just getting underway. It started here at 9 o'clock, and with this welcome reception going on, there's fireside chat with Montana's First Lady Susan Gianforte, is led businesses on her own. Of course, her and her husband Greg Gianforte started numerous businesses together, and right now Technologies is the one that people are most familiar with. Some 500 jobs, all good paying jobs as well. That was passed on to Oracle, I believe, at the time. It's still in operation there, obviously. And so they'll be talking an awful lot about that type of atmosphere, being in a support position as well as in a leadership position. That's going on here. But the consul generals from we got Belgium, Croatia, Norway, the United Kingdom, Romania, Poland, they are here. March 8th is International Women's Day. And these consul generals here, all of them are women, as a matter of fact, are lining up. Hopefully we'll get a chance to chat with them. There's a lot of things on their plate right now when it comes to international business. Now, it's a little difficult as well to have a conversation with officials, international officials, because there's sensitivities there, and there's control by those governments as well. So we'll be able to hopefully have a chance to understand what they are doing here in Montana as well, and how business works in communities like countries like Norway or Poland or Belgium. This is Nancy Schlepp. Nancy Schlepp is the Communications and Government Relations Officer for Sandfire Resources of America. And she's also the Montana Chamber of Commerce Board Chair. So she's Vice President of Communications and Government Relations, I should say, for Sandfire. And she is interviewing First Lady Susan Gianforte as we have this fireside chat going on to kick off, really, the first part of it yesterday for this Montana Women in Business Summit. And welcome back here to Voices of Montana. Tom Schultz alongside. We're live in Bozeman at the Kempton Armory Hotel. There's a fireside chat going on right now in this sold-out conference, and we're going to pick you up on it. Nancy Schlepp, Vice President of Communications and Government Relations with Sandfire Resources. She's also board chair for the Montana Chamber of Commerce. And, of course, our First Lady, Susan Gianforte.
University, and
this is Susan Gianforte
right
talking.
That was at the time that Bell Labs was breaking up. So I took a job with a consulting firm, KPMG, Pete Marwick, and then to a subsidiary called Nolan Norton that worked on strategic technology. Like, how do you leverage computers in your business to make processes more effective? And that was super interesting. My favorite job is consulting, because you're always like bringing what you just learned to the next client, and you're always building on that. I feel like you learn twice as much in any given amount of time consulting. So,
and while you were working full time is when you were getting your MBA.
Yes.
Yes.
So that was, it wasn't too bad. They gave me time off, and I managed to schedule all my classes on one afternoon, so I would take the train up to the city and do the classes and come back down. But I did meet my husband, future husband Greg, at Bell Labs pretty soon after I started my MBA, and we met at the donut table giving blood, for those that don't know the story. It's the only story I've heard of that particular way to meet somebody that you're going to marry. But yeah, he was with me through the MBA, and then after I started consulting, we got married, and pretty soon got surprisingly pregnant. So my poor boss, I went in three times to him to tell him I was pregnant, the partner of the firm. But so I once I started working, and we got married, and then had a child, then I went part-time. So I was part-time for my first two sons. I did 3 days a week all in a row, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And that worked out pretty well. And they were pretty understanding. And I took some consulting jobs that didn't require as much travel as some of the other ones, where you kind of go to the client for the whole week. And that wasn't going to work out too well. But and then Greg was starting a business. So he, you know, had his business, and I was consulting and traveling and two kids, and then we got had a third kid, so then I stopped working.
So you had a lot of responsibility. What kept you motivated through that time period?
Gosh, I think if you're just working on what you think is worthwhile, I mean, I loved my work, I loved my husband, I loved my children, so you just kind of balance. I mean, you do have to have good childcare. For the first child, I brought him to neighbors' homes that also had children in the home. And then for the second child, then I had somebody come in just for the time that I was gone. But as I told people, they're like, "Oh, you're managing to do everything." And it's like, when I'm here working, somebody is full time taking care of my children. That job doesn't go away. It still has to happen.
Right. I think a lot of women in this room can relate to that and the juggle and what that means to all of us. Mm-hmm. So next, you all moved to Montana and continued doing operations for the governor's startups, raising four children, and playing a pivotal role in establishing Right Now Technologies. That is a full plate.
Yeah, so When I stopped working consulting, we were still back east, and he did have startups then, and so I was helping with that. And I thought my career was over when I left consulting. But when we started working together, it was like, oh, this is real, you know, this is fun, and I'm using some skills. And then when he sold his business, we wanted to raise our kids. We wanted to live where we wanted to raise our kids. So we did a big trip out to Montana, 3 weeks, drove all around Western Montana camping with the three boys, and fell in love with Bozeman. It was like, this is it. We just knew it. So he came back 2 weeks later and bought the house that we still live in today. And then we moved here the next summer. We had to sell our house back east. And we were involved in a couple startups when we got here, actually. Right Now wasn't the first one. But then he had the idea of Right Now Technologies. And I even brought the folder. It says RNT. I found this in our cabinet a couple years ago, where he had the first sheet of paper to start the idea for Right Now Technologies. We have other folders with other names on them, but this one was the winner. So then I started helping. I do all the back office, and he does the product and the sales. And that's kind of how we split it up in the startup phase.
So one of the things I am impressed with is your love for STEM education. And how did your experience to this point shape your journey and open the doors for one of your passions, promoting STEM?
So my engineering degree totally changed the trajectory of my life. From growing up with a single mom, lived in a one-bedroom apartment in Astoria, Queens. The career opportunities, the people I met, was just absolutely life-changing. And then getting further degrees, and it felt like whatever I was working on was opening the door for the next thing that was going to be in front of me. So I'm very passionate about people, but especially women, because our percentages are still really low for women doing engineering degrees and computer science degrees. But if it's a fit for you, like it absolutely was for me, it's just an amazing career opportunity. And my husband and I feel that everyone should take at least one computer science class, if not a minor, and your whatever degree you end up with will be that much more valuable to have that computer skill background, because everything is using computer these days.
That is First Lady Susan Gianforte. Here, right now on stage, as I mentioned, was First Lady Susan Gianforte. A lot of stuff here that I think would be very interesting. The impact of millennials on the workplace, the innovative paths to impact, models for social good, some of those breakout sessions here today, breaking the glass ceiling, that's still a thing. And the future of work, unleashing women's potential with AI. We're going to pick up on that topic right now. Al Gall is with us from Shadow Ridge Analytics, and joining us by phone, was scheduled to be here to join us here live, but got caught in a little traffic, and I guess I drove up this. Ella, can you hear me, by the way?
Yes, I hear you.
How are you doing, besides being stuck in traffic?
I'm good. I know. I'm sorry I don't get to see your face.
Yes, it would have been. It's great to actually communicate, face to face here too, and talk about this AI thing. I mean, I'm fascinated by it. I'm using it more and more, probably pretty inefficiently at this point. But as I said earlier, how do you imagine AI working into a business plan? I mean, it can change anything, everything, in sort of the beat of a heart.
Well, yeah, absolutely, and. You know, our company, Shadow Ridge Analytics, we're focused in business advisory and technology commercialization for Montana's startups, specifically in the technology spaces. So that includes not just AI, but photonics and quantum as well. And so how we think of, you know, that intersect between AI and photonics and quantum is really how do they work together and how can we use the great businesses in Montana that are developing technology for AI and data centers. How can we make sure that that technology gets used in the marketplace and Montana businesses thrive.
Oh, great. Okay, how? Give me,
right? Here at Montana State University, we have a lot of great research going on right now in photonic integrated circuits. And basically what those do is they help take really bulky systems and bulky senders or really high energy systems, and they make them low loss or they can make them much smaller. So Montana is really at the forefront at developing that technology, really accelerated too within the last year with the Headwaters Tech Hub funding.
Yeah. And we've been talking about that as well. What kind of boost does that give to specifically, you know, women who are looking to enter business? What kind of boost does that center give?
I think the biggest advantage I see that women bring to these spaces is their ability to communicate the actual value of the technology, like quantum and photonics, and these are all really cool, exciting terms, but they sound pretty sci-fi, right? Like when we think about quantum, we probably think of Marvel movies or space wars, I don't know, but not anything that actually applies to everyday life. And I run into that a lot, actually, when we have companies pitching to us or we have companies telling us about their great innovation. If we have female co-founders, they tend to do pretty well at actually communicating the voice of their customer or understanding and communicating to us like why there's actually a business case behind the technology or why their customer cares or major pain points that the technology is addressing. Not just that it's super cool or go into the very in-depth like engineering or science behind it. That's all great. But at the end of the day, when we're investing in companies or we're helping companies, we want to understand like what problems are you solving? What markets are you serving?
Yeah. Al Gall is with us, Shadow Ridge Analytics. We're talking about the next frontier. And again, we are live from the Blazing Trails Montana Women in Business Summit. Let me ask this. I got a couple minutes. What is possible? What do we get excited about when it comes to AI? What's the practical? What's the possible?
I think just being able to quickly solve problems. We're able to iterate and get from idea to business faster than we ever have before. And that's really exciting in a world where technology is constantly changing. We need to be able to identify very quickly where our markets are, what is possible, where our business cases are. And we've been able to do that with AI just even in the last couple years. It's changed so drastically. We see intellectual property popping up everywhere. But patents don't create great businesses do, great execution does. So AI is a tool for us to quickly understand how we can execute on a piece of intellectual property or on an idea and how to quickly get from idea to market.
How are people, how would they use it incorrectly? What would be some of the ways that you say, this may sound like a good idea for AI, but it could lead you in the wrong direction?
It's definitely making sure that your inputs are correct or, it's garbage in, garbage out. So making sure you understand what information is going into whatever AI is telling you, that can really lead you astray. I think we still need to have a very healthy doubt around AI outputs. I do see, ChatGPT or whatever, it does hallucinate, or we do get AI tools or products or reports. I can tell instantly if it's generated from AI. I don't know. There's not a soul behind it. I can tell pretty quickly if an inventor used AI to write out a business proposition or if they wrote it themselves. So don't rely on AI to do everything for you. It could hallucinate. It can give you wrong information, but even just in the way it's presented, it still has very much a robot feel. And at the end of the day, business is about relationships and people. So really making sure we hang on to that human element.
I don't have time for this, but I'm curious, how many people are using it right now?
Oh, everybody.
Okay, good. That's good. It's a tool, and we have to embrace all those tools. Al Gall. Al, thank you. And drive safe, okay? Get here okay.
Thank you.
Pleasure to have you joining us here. Appreciate that as we are live from the Women in Business Summit, Blazing Trails. Again, I talk about some of these keynote and breakout sessions here. It really is a pretty packed two-day summit. They met last night for networking, and then they just go hard, as I mentioned, all for the next couple of days here. And then March 8th is International Women in Business Day. Thank you guys again for being here. Tony Rosanova is standing by. We'll talk about these workforce issues. He's a private consultant now, New Rose Consulting. I'm going to chat with Tina Nolavenko to get this going here from Pacific Steel and Recycling, because I wanted to get a sense. And good morning, Tina. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you for coming and being here today. I asked Tina, she kind of popped up here. I said, you know, why are you here? I wanted to get a sense of why you're participating and coming to this conference. What are you, and you're with Pacific Steel and Recycling and Women in Construction. I want to talk about that as well. But what do you hope to get out of this, Tina?
Great. Thank you. So I'm here with our Montana chapter of Women in Construction. I'm the president of that chapter, and several of our women are here in support. One of our members is speaking on one of the panels for breaking the glass ceiling, so we're here to support Jacqueline in that effort. Also, this is Women in Construction Week across the nation, so we're celebrating that. To be inspired, So we always take an opportunity to be inspired, and all these great speakers, the information that those of us who are fortunate enough to be able to attend this conference, and then we'll take that information back to the rest of the women.
And the chamber's focused on this issue as well. How do you feel it's moving forward with the legislature? I like how Tony had said, long ways to go, but there's maybe the appropriate or at least new attention on this.
I don't want to speak to specifics in the legislature. However, we do have Sheridan Johnson Poyer, who is working for us diligently on that topic. That is why she's not here with us today. But both she and Caitlin Jensen with 0 to 5 will be here on Friday to give that policy update on what is happening. There are quite a few bills and a lot of action. And so with transmittal being pushed back a week here, we too are dealing with some technical difficulties. But as we just heard from the First Lady, you know, childcare was really significant for her in raising her children and being able to have her career. And so if we want to really strive for gender parity and women in the workforce, we need to do more to provide for our kids.
So what is more? Let's push in on what is more.
Well, we want to stay in our lane, right? We represent business, and we are the voice of business. And so what can private industry do to contribute to the solution? And I think Tony, having shared Zoot's solution in the past of doing a child care facility, these public-private partnerships that are happening, grant funding that is underwriting this, you know, we're not a socialist society. However, I have lived in one, and child care is something that even if you don't have children, you are impacted by if there is not child care. If your coworker can't show up to work and you're working on a project, you know, that impacts you. And so we really need to find innovative and creative ways to solve this problem, working with public, private, and nonprofit partnerships. We will hear from Florence Crittenden out of Helena. Their executive director is speaking on a panel later today, and she's talking about what they're doing for providing child care as well in that community. And so I think there are some amazing solutions happening out there, and we really need to focus on them and try to replicate them wherever we can.
You want to add to that, Tony?
100% agree. It can't be done alone, and it can't be done in a vacuum. And the public-private partnership is massively important. And these nonprofits that are dedicated to helping companies or individuals with this child care problem, I mean, it's the coalition that's coming together that's going to make a difference.
Yeah. I kind of want to switch gears a little bit. We've got about, 3-4 minutes left here. Talk about this conference, Candace.
Absolutely. Well, you know, so when I moved to Montana nearly 20 years ago, I said I've moved to Montana. And it was said with affection. However, there was truly a gap. Something missing, the connective tissue to bring all of us women together around the state in business. And I think the Blazing Trails Summit has really struck a chord in creating that platform for connectivity and then also, you know, future working together. And so this being our second year and selling out in November, mm-hmm. 240 women from all corners of the Treasure State, I think is a testament that we've achieved that. And so we want to continue the momentum.
Yeah, congratulations on that, too.
Thank you.
You know, like you said, early sellout on this as well. You've got a great list of speakers. These breakout sessions are top-notch.
Thank you.
I got a minute and a half, and yep. I want to talk to Tony Rosanova about a cat named Riggs Johnston out of Libby, Montana, who's a golfer, who you're just connected with through relationship, but your new position, new Rose Consulting as well. You're taking what you have learned for many years as an executive, and you moved the ball forward in a lot of concepts as well in that relationship. Give us an update on what's going on there.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the most important thing is the First Lady just said it. She said she loved being a consultant because every time she got a new opportunity, she was able to bring something from her last opportunity and learn and grow into the next opportunity, and that's exactly the space we're in. Right now, with Riggs being on the tour, we are learning how to help him build a business there. And the best part about that is New Rose Consulting are my daughters. It's a women-owned business. And what they're doing is they're doing social media, marketing, accounting, finance, tax for a player on the world stage.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is they're getting to go out there and be in that space. And they're being treated as equals in that space. They have the opportunity out there to be held for their skill and ability.
Yeah.
Riggs is... got an opportunity. Golf is the most amazing equalizer.
Yeah.
There is no place to hide. You have to do your work. You have to excel at that. And just continuing to promote women is the most important part of this.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. Appreciate that. Always love chatting with you, and you too, Candace Strauss.
Thank you, Tom.
With the Montana Chamber. And thanks to Ken in studio. We are live at the Made in Montana Trade Show tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.